aside from the theater and band geeks. My brows pulled in. Were they all theater and band geeks? No, I shook my head. I had a fling with Billy. He was on the baseball team. Rowan grunted beside me. Corrigan's eyes danced. I felt so lost. What are you not telling me?
Billy,
Corrigan mused. Why did he break up with you again?
Leave it, Cor,
Rowan warned. I glanced over at him and took in his red ears and the way his eyes seemed to shoot daggers. I thought about Billy and why he'd broken things off. I couldn't even remember. Something about focusing on his future and not wanting extra things to stand in the way of the scholarship he was getting. He'd said something about my friends, too, but the memory was muddy at best. I blinked, looking at Rowan and his angry features. You warned him away from me. His gaze slid over to mine. My heart tripped over itself for a beat. I knew girls who'd be flattered by a really hot guy making it difficult for them to date. Some alpha male move that seemed to drive women crazy. But I wasn't that girl. And Rowan... I shook my head. Rowan had made it abundantly clear that he didn't know how to love and wasn't interested in exploring that option. Not then, maybe not ever. So why keep me from experiencing it for myself? You don't even feel the least bit sorry about that? I asked, my voice small when it should have been steaming with anger. Anger made me defiant, and I was being far too complacent about this new information. Rowan simply shrugged.
I'm not much into apologies.
I blinked and blinked again, took another gulp of my whiskey. I should be upset. Like, really upset. Why wasn't I upset? All those guys in my class never asked me out because... And all the while, he was in the middle of on-and-off flings with other girls, Cameron included. My chest started itching as I thought about it. The only answer I could come up with was what I knew to be true in every situation. Rowan was a control freak. Still, that didn't give him the right to control my life. The conversation shifted. Sam and Corrigan were talking about bitcoins and the future of money when Rowan nuzzled his face into my neck.
Tell me you aren't mad at me.
I pushed him off. When did you decide you needed to play bodyguard? He squeezed his eyes shut.
After I kissed you that night at your grandmother's birthday party?
You're joking.
I know. I'm an asshole.
When he opened his eyes, he didn't look the least bit sorry. I never wondered if I was pretty enough or funny enough or anything enough, because when I was out with Celia, plenty of guys would hit on me. And I wouldn't trade going to prom with Rowan for the world. We'd had an incredible time dancing and laughing, and I thought about my after-prom plans that never came to fruition. Or how I'd actually ended up on top of him in the small confines of his Mustang, only to have him push me away just before things got too hot and heavy. Every other person in our class was planning to hook up that night, and Rowan was, for the first time in his entire life, being the perfect gentleman. I'd heard enough rumors to know he wasn't a gentleman with other girls. Why had he orchestrated the whole don't ask Tessa out thing, only to turn me down? He hadn't turned me down that summer, though. That summer, he'd been mine, but only after he decided it. After the countless times he'd tried to fight whatever this was between us, and finally claimed me like some Neanderthal claimed his mate, like we were animals with no brains and no free will. So what? No one else could have me because he'd deemed it the right time for him to have me? Fuck him. I excused myself to go to the bathroom. Rowan scooted out of the booth, and I slid out behind him. The music had started already. It was college night, and there were a ton of kids here. Little brothers and sisters of our classmates, no doubt. Kids who would leave next week and report to their schools and start their futures. Tonight, they were all dancing sloppily, obviously drunk or high off whatever they had at their pregame, because this bar wouldn't serve minors. I was sidestepping a couple of girls when I felt a hand on my forearm. I yanked it, not even bothering to look back. Guys were such tools sometimes. I fled into the bathroom and worked on regaining my composure. The past was the past, but with Rowan, it never quite seemed to stay there. Even when I was in college, during the years we didn't speak, I was constantly thinking about him. I lost my virginity to some guy I met at a party, and all throughout, I thought of Rowan. He'd been Christmas mornings and warm summers, and a part of him always stayed with me through our years of silence. Stayed with me still. There was a reason I kept a tight lid on those memories and all thoughts of him. It was completely ridiculous for me to even be entertaining this. I had no idea why I had opened myself up to him again, even though I knew we'd only break apart again. There were a lot of whys I knew I'd never get answers to, because he was him, and he didn't apologize or offer explanations for his actions. He just did. On that note, I opened the bathroom door again and froze. Rowan was leaning against the wall.
You're mad at me.
Nothing to be mad about, right? I shrugged and walked away from him and onto the dance floor. He caught my arm. I couldn't tell you what song was playing. All I knew was that our hips started swaying. I gripped his strong biceps as he held onto my waist. We moved, our eyes on each other's, mine angry, his filled with a remorse he'd never speak of.
You're such an asshole, I slurred finally. That was how drunk I was. I even knew I was slurring. Because I wanted you all to myself?
Yes, I reared back, my brows pinching together. It's like the ultimate double standard. My tongue felt heavy, and my words were stumbling all over each other. But I didn't really care. I dropped my hands and stopped moving, no longer feeling the music or the situation. I grabbed his forearms and tried to push his hands off me, but he didn't budge.
Just let go.
You'll fall. My eyes narrowed.
I will never fall.
Has it occurred to you, Tessa?
He said, coming closer, bringing his lips to the shell of my ear.
That you've never actually stood on your own 2 feet?
I inhaled sharply and pushed him away once more. This time, he let go. I went outside and walked down the sidewalk, in absolutely no shape to drive. Luckily, I lived close enough that walking didn't bother me. I didn't have to look back to know he was there. I could feel his presence even then. I hated it. Hated the way we seemed to be attached by some invisible string. Hated that he knew my next move before I knew my own. Hated that he couldn't fucking admit his feelings or the deeper meaning of why he did the things he did. Most of all, I hated that I wanted him to, needed him to, yearned for him to. By the time I got to my front door, I was breathing heavily. Whether from my escalating anger or the power walk I just took, I didn't know. I took out my keys and unlocked the door, and just before I shut it behind me, his hand came up to stop it.
I didn't invite you in. I'm not a fucking vampire, Tessa. I can come inside if I want to.
This isn't your house.
Soon, it won't be yours either.
Right. I turned around. Because you've taken that from me, too.
Oh, my God.
He looked up at the ceiling with a noisy exhale.
I thought we were past this.
Says the guy who hasn't had to give anything up. Ever. I crossed my arms, his eyes narrowed.
You know that isn't true.
Do I? I shrugged. You're taking over the company soon. Isn't that what you've always dreamed of?
You know that isn't true,
he said again, his tone hard, his eyes searching mine. Anger continued to burn in my chest like an undying flame. I couldn't seem to put it out or stop myself from pushing him. This morning, I'd awoken with a sense of excitement I no longer felt. I was just confused and over it.
Why didn't you have sex with me on prom night?
He blinked.
What?
I believe you heard me.
He chuckled, an unamused, hard sound that matched the look in his eyes.
Is that what this is about? Sex?
You're mad because I talked some loser guys away from you, because I was looking out for you, and because I stopped you from making a mistake?
Oh, you're such a fucking saint, I spat. Spare me the bullshit. You don't have the right to decide when I make mistakes.
Jesus Christ. He threw his hands up. I can't believe we're having this conversation right now.
Just tell me why. I deserve to know why,
I said loudly, and to my absolute dismay, I felt tears swimming in my eyes. I swallowed, brought my voice down 12 notches, and whispered,
It isn't like I was going to remain a virgin, you know. I had sex in college with some no one. It was a completely unmemorable experience, but I guess that was what you wanted, right? For everybody after you to be unmemorable.
Oh, Tessa. He said my name softly, in a near whisper, as he walked over to me. I wiped my tears away before he got a chance to, but he cupped my face anyway and rubbed his thumbs over my cheeks.
I'm so mad at you, I whispered.
I know.
He leaned down and kissed my pout, my cheek, my eyelids before pulling back and looking at me.
I'm a selfish bastard, and I'm sorry.
Heart pounding, I reached up and touched his face, brushing his hair back and threading my fingers through it. You are a selfish bastard.
His large hand felt hot on my back as he pulled me closer.
He put his forehead against mine, closed his eyes, and breathed out. I did the same. Our own little hongi. We stayed like that for what felt like an eternity, my anger slowly dissipating with each exhale. He pulled away slowly, his hands still on my face as he looked at me.
You're still coming on the trip, right?
I nodded. I told you I would. He smiled, dropped a chaste kiss on my lips, and headed for the door.
I'll pick you up at 11.
You aren't going to stay?
He shook his head, hand on the door. If I stay, if we're going to do this hooking up thing until you leave and then call it a day, maybe we should discuss it when you're sober.
I'm sober. He cocked his head and shot me a look. I'm mostly sober.
Mostly isn't good enough. I'll pick you up tomorrow morning.
Fine, I grumbled. He chuckled as he walked down the driveway. Chapter 21. Tessa.
That boy is going to break your heart again.
Grandma Joan crossed her arms as she leaned against the doorframe. She had come over this morning to make sure her friends took everything they purchased, and that everything included my entire childhood bedroom set. I wished she'd leave. I didn't exactly want her here when Rowan arrived, especially since there was no telling what she would end up saying to him.
I haven't given him my heart to break.
My cell phone charger was the last thing to go into my overnight bag before I zipped it closed.
Oh, Tess,
she sighed heavily.
He's going to keep you here and ruin your chances to become someone.
That isn't true, I frowned. Rowan wasn't the type to keep anyone anywhere. As long as I knew that, I'd be fine. Besides, I wanted to leave. I needed to leave. I wanted to argue with Grandma, to tell her that I could make a name for myself anywhere. But we'd both know it was bullshit. Unfortunately, location mattered. Grandma Joan shook her head, her thin lips twisted in disappointment. She'd always wanted more for my mom. She wanted her to live her own life, not to put it on hold for some man, which Mom did anyway. I could tell she was trying to figure out whether or not she should give me a long speech, but after a beat, she sighed and shook her head.
Just be careful, she said finally. Don't get pregnant.
I scowled. I'm not that stupid.
Neither was I, and look at how I ended up.
I sighed heavily. I wasn't going to answer that because I knew I'd say something I'd regret. The doorbell rang and cut our conversation short. Mom had that fancy ring on it that used to drive us crazy as teenagers, but as an adult, it brought me comfort. Funny how perception changed over the years. I'll be back in a few days,
I gave the realtor your number just in case, but he's putting a lockbox on the house, I explained, rolling my bag toward the stairs. I heard her small heels behind me as I picked up the suitcase and walked down with it.
You'll call, she said, when you get there. I don't trust that kid's driving.
I laughed. I didn't necessarily trust it either. He drove like a damn maniac. I kept that to myself, though, and opened the door. My heart skipped a beat when I saw him. He was dressed down, joggers and a loose Punisher t-shirt, which somehow didn't manage to hide any of his muscles. My mouth watered just thinking about what was underneath that shirt. I blinked, remembering myself, and he grinned, leaning in to press his forehead against mine and breathed out. My heart skipped another beat, but I managed to breathe out with him. A part of me wondered if he'd taught the hongi to another woman. That part of me reared its green head and rooted its heavy feet on my heart. I backed away quickly. That wasn't the kind of emotion a hongi was supposed to provide. Rowan looked at my grandmother, who had a small smile splayed on her lips and a hand on her hip as she waited.
What? You aren't going to greet me?
He chuckled, stepping in and doing the same to her. When they stepped away from each other, she tugged his ear hard, making him grunt as she pulled him down to her 5'3" level.
You hurt her, I kill you, she said. How's that for a hongi?
Nana? She shot me a fiery glare that made me cower a bit. Rowan rubbed the tip of his ear with his fingers.
I promise to keep her safe. It isn't her physical safety I'm concerned about, Grandma said, glaring at him.
He simply nodded at this, and I stepped in to pull him away from her before this got any more awkward. He said goodbye and picked up my suitcase, walking outside. I followed and climbed into the passenger seat of his car. I'll call you when I get there, I called out with a wave. She waved back, looking none too happy with the arrangement.
She hates me, Rowan said once we drove away.
Eh, I shrugged.
The fact that you can't even try to defend that statement means she hates me. That doesn't bother you? You love her.
Your mom hates me. Does that bother you?
She doesn't hate you, he scowled, looking over.
She hates the idea of us together. I raised an eyebrow, daring him to say otherwise. He looked at the road ahead, which made my heart sink a little. A part of me wanted him to contradict me, or at least explain why she hated the idea of me dating him, but I let it be. I would leave soon, and it wouldn't matter.
She doesn't hate you, though. My mom loves you. Her problem is with me, not you,
he responded, but it didn't make me feel even the slightest bit better.
Joan hates me.
Because she thinks you're a player who will break my heart.
I'm not.
I know. He was a lot of things, but a cheater wasn't one, even if he did seem like one by dating multiple women at once. He was just never the type to settle down, but he always let it be known to all parties. Except you. He was with her, and he was with you. The thoughts snapped at me like a barracuda. Snap, snap, snap. The way I wanted to snap, snap, snap her neck every time I saw her. I pushed it away. He hadn't been with anyone else while we were together. I knew that without a shadow of a doubt.
I would never purposely hurt you,
he said, reaching over and sliding his hand over mine. I closed my eyes for a moment and breathed, enjoying the moment. I know that.
Did you RSVP for the cocktail thing?
Yes. It starts at 5:30, but the hotel I booked is right by it, so it shouldn't be a problem.
We'll be there by 4, he said. Is that enough time for you to get ready?
Yeah. Is it enough time for you to style your hair? He winked.
Guess we'll find out.
I smiled, shaking my head and glancing away to hide my blush. It's going to be miserably hot this week.
Is that why you're wearing that flimsy little sundress?
Yeah, I smiled, glancing over at him. I'm glad you took note of the kind of fabric I'm wearing.
No comment.
What does that mean? I looked down at my sundress and frowned. It was a super cute, albeit flimsy, little dress I'd purchased during the Free People Super Sale a few months back. Like most of their clothing, it was whimsical and, yes, a tad revealing, with spaghetti straps that showed off my entire back. I'd covered myself with a jean vest, so he hadn't even caught a glimpse of that part. Not that I wasn't showing enough skin to begin with. The low neckline exposed the tops of my breasts, and I was pretty sure he could see through most of the material past the bodice, which was why I'd worn ivory panties. I looked up at him, still frowning. Why no comment?
Because if you knew how hard I've been since the moment I picked you up, you wouldn't be as amused about my noticing the fabric.
His words shot straight between my legs. I shifted a little in the seat. Oh.
Yes, oh.
I bit my lip, eyeing the tent in his joggers. I could definitely see it. Huge and hard and ready. It made me clench my legs together again. It took every ounce of self-control I had not to reach over and free him. You're driving. You need to focus on that. He sighed.
You're right.
His response made me wonder how many times women had gone down on him or jerked him off while he was driving this car. And just like that, I went from turned on to bothered. I folded my arms in front of my chest again and looked out the window.
What's going on up there?
He reached over and tucked my hair behind my ear, giving him a clear view of my face. I'm trying not to think about how many women have done dirty things to you in this car. He chuckled, shaking his head as he focused on the road ahead. After a moment, it was clear he wasn't going to answer me, which further pissed me off. Have there been that many?
I'm not having this conversation with you.
Why not? We're friends again, aren't we?
Friends?
He shot me a look.
Is that what we are?
You were the one who fled the scene yesterday and said we were going to discuss things.
I did, didn't I?
So, shall we discuss? I turned to face him. Why are we discussing this, anyway? Don't regular people just hook up and break it off when it's over?
We aren't regular people.
Okay, do you discuss this with all the women you hook up with?
Not necessarily, but you aren't like them.
Because what? You think I'll fall in love with you? Or is this about the stupid change thing that I'm supposedly not good with?
Taking you to Lover's Lane the other night wasn't the smartest thing to do.
He sighed.
I just want to be clear on things because you're leaving. I'm not, and, well, we need boundaries.
We never needed them before. We went our separate ways when you ended things.
He stayed silent for a beat. You know what? Let's talk about that, since you're so keen on arguing these days.
I'm not keen on arguing. I just think you're full of shit.
Remember when I asked you to go to Columbia with me and you chose Yale?
I rolled my eyes.
Big whoop.
Your girlfriend chose Columbia. I thought you'd be satisfied with that.
He shook his head. She isn't my girlfriend. Never was.
Not what I heard.
Enlighten me, then.
Did you forget about Facebook? If they had been giving out medals for the most posts made in a day, Cameron would have won. And guess who was in 90% of them? I shot him a look. He breathed out noisily through his nose.
Not my doing. I didn't ask Cameron to follow me to college. She decided to take it upon herself to wedge herself further into my life by posing as my girlfriend in some circles and soon-to-be girlfriend in others. I knocked the rumor down until I was blue in the face. Still, it hadn't mattered with some of the girls at school.
I bet you didn't try all that hard, I shrugged. Doesn't matter. We'd already broken up.
Because you chose Yale.
That is not why we broke up, and you know it. Besides, I chose to follow my dreams, Rowan. How can you, of all people, fault me for that? Or are you jealous that I had the balls to do something you didn't?
He stayed quiet.
I sighed. Why was I upset again? I turned the radio up and started scrolling through stations. Rowan and I had a difference of opinion on most things, including music, so we normally kept the radio off. But bickering about songs was better than bickering about him having sex with other women or why I followed my dreams instead of his. Though him rubbing in the fact that I didn't follow his lead and that we didn't stay together because of it pissed me off. What kind of power did he think he held over me? Maybe that was the problem. He was so stuck on his own ego and the way people walked around on eggshells around him that he didn't even realize some of us had our own thoughts.
"It's a touch screen," he said. "You don't have to stab it."
"I'm not stabbing it." I jabbed the screen once more and stopped at the 90s pop station, catching the tail end of an NSYNC song I knew for a fact Rowan hated. Then Avril Lavigne started to sing, and instead of changing the station like I normally would have, I turned it up, knowing it would irritate the crap out of him. I expected him to try to turn it, or at the very least mock the lyrics. But he started to sing. Loudly. His eyes smiling as he looked over at me and caught the surprised look on my face as he started to sing about making things complicated. Oh, God. I covered my face. He had an awful, terrible singing voice. Despite myself, I started to laugh and laugh and laugh. And finally, I uncovered my face and joined in on the impromptu car karaoke moment, singing the next chorus with him. Never in a million years would I have thought he'd know the lyrics. But then Rowan was always surprising me one way or another. We sang loudly, stealing glances as he drove down the freeway, and by the end of the song, I had tears in my eyes because I was laughing so hard. "You're an awful singer," I said between laughs. "Like, awful."
"You aren't so great either."
I shook my head, smiling so widely my cheeks hurt. "I thought you hated that song."
"I do," he chuckled. "How do you think I know it so well?"
"Because Roger loved it," I offered, laughing even harder as I thought about his old rowing teammate who was obsessed with anything 90s and everything Beyoncé. He joined in, shoulders shaking. "How is he, anyway? Do you keep in touch?"
"He's fine. He invited me to his wedding next summer. I'm supposed to be in the party."
"Oh?" My brows rose. "I'm assuming he's marrying a man?"
"You would be right," he grinned. "Nice guy, too. Accountant."
"Roger with an accountant? Jeez, opposites really do attract. What is he doing with his life?"
"He went to culinary school and got on full-time at a good restaurant in New York."
"Nice. Good for him," I smiled. Rowan put his hand over mine on my lap again.
"I don't want to hurt you,"
he said after a moment.
"The last thing on earth I would ever want to do is hurt you."
"I know," I squeezed his hand. "I'm sorry about what I said."
"Don't be,"
he grinned.
"You're right. I am a little jealous of you. My entire life I wanted to be a college professor, but I've always known my place in the world, and it resides in Hawthorne Industries. I've come to terms with that."
"You know that you could do both." He shook his head.
"You know how I am."
"Balls to the wall," he chuckled.
"Pretty much."
"Well, for what it's worth, I think it's commendable."
"I don't regret what we did the other night," he said. "Part of me wishes I could be strong enough to stop myself, but I just... when it comes to you..."
"I know."
"You leave soon, and I don't want to go back to being strangers."
"That was your doing," I said, though I wasn't sure if I had it in me to stay friends once I left. Would that entail seeing him with other women and vice versa? I wasn't sure either one of us were built to handle that.
"I know. I fucked up. I don't want to fuck up again. I'm just putting it out there."
"Is this your way of telling me that if I try to have sex with you, you'll turn me away?"
"This is my way of telling you I won't turn you away. And I'm not sure how I feel about that."
I wasn't sure how I felt about it either. Excited, anxious, terrified. At least I knew I wasn't alone in this.
Chapter 22. Rowan. I glanced around the cocktail party, looking for Tessa. She told me she'd meet me down here once she finished getting ready. I was talking to a man who owned a factory down in Queens about where he imports his fabrics when I finally spotted her. She was wearing a tight black dress that hid her knees and red lipstick. Her brown hair cascaded down in soft waves that people paid big money to achieve, and she had, naturally. She laughed at whatever the man she was talking to was saying, and I felt it in my groin. I wanted to take her away from here and have my way with her, the way I'd been dreaming about for over 10 years. Tessa had no idea the kinds of things she did to people. I watched the way she managed to wrap every man in the room around her little pinky as she spoke to them. It was her smile. It was the way she acted as if she was held captive by your words, regardless of what you were saying. She had a way about her that put people at ease and made them talk. Two qualities I needed in order to take this company to the next level. Two qualities my fake wife should definitely have. I only had a few days left to decide. I'd spent most of my time trying to figure out how to get out of it. But the more time passed, the more unlikely it seemed, and I knew thinking about Tessa being the woman signing that contract was stupid. She wouldn't go for that. Hell, she wouldn't even follow me to college. I wasn't stupid enough to believe she'd marry me out of convenience. A man could dream, though. These are the newest fabrics we got from Peru. They're even more vivid in person, Mr. Ferrero said. I made myself look at his phone screen and then took it from his hand. Damn, the fabric was nice. You have this in Queens? I have samples of most of it. I just brought back a shipment of the red one and this ivory. I let him scroll and show me the ivory. Can I show this to my sister? Sure, he smiled, allowing me to lead him over to where Tessa was standing. She looked up, her gaze finding mine before we reached her. I felt a sense of something tickling my chest when she looked at me like that. If I were being completely no-bullshit honest, Tessa was the only woman who could look at me and send my heart into a frenzy. I pushed the thought away. It was nostalgia. That was why I felt this way. She introduced me to the man she had been speaking to, Cody, a buyer for Barney's, and I introduced her to Mr. Ferrero. After a moment, Cody excused himself to speak to someone else, and I asked Mr. Ferrero to show her the fabrics. Tessa gasped, taking the phone from his hand when she saw a couple. She glanced up at him with a shy smile. Sorry, fabric is my jam. He smiled widely. I was sure he was excited to have such a gorgeous woman paying attention to his products and launched into the same speech he just gave me about his suppliers. The Vietnamese one looks lovely, Tessa said in awe. Do you sell to a lot of cloth manufacturers or do you manufacture in-house? We do most of the work in-house unless the purchasing company has their own factory. Normally the big brands buy the fabric and go elsewhere to make their product. My father used to own a fabric company, and for years the biggest client was the government, but our name wasn't on any of the final products. It's like that for us. Mr. Ferrero smiled, scrolling to the next picture, the ivory fabric. This is for a well-known dressmaker. We make some of the dresses in-house for them, but you'd never know it. Oh, my God, I would kill to feel this fabric. She looked up at him. Do you have lace? Do you only sell wholesale? Is it all in Queens? I chuckled. Mr. Ferrero gave a belly laugh that made Tessa smile brightly. Damn, I wanted to kiss her again. I can make an exception for you. What do you want it for? She took a breath and explained to him that she designs wedding dresses, and even though she wasn't planning on sewing them, she'd like to start collecting swatches from different places, just in case. As she spoke, I could feel her passion. Her brown eyes lit with every sentence. Her voice got a little higher, a lot faster, and she looked absolutely beautiful. By the end of it, she even had me convinced that I wanted to start dressmaking, and I didn't know the first thing about it. I thought about the folded piece of paper, the discarded design that I had in my wallet. Was that the dress she was thinking about when she looked at this fabric? I wondered how often she thought about her own wedding dress, if at all. She shot me a look that said, "Hello, Earth to Rowan," and I blinked rapidly. I'm sorry, what was that? I was just telling Mr. Ferrero what an incredible company Hawthorne is, and that it might be good to go to Queens to see if you could buy any of his fabrics. Oh, I nodded. That's an excellent idea. We can talk pricing and volume. And I can give Tessa the inside scoop on the fabric I'm getting from Columbia next month. I smiled because it was what was expected, but the thought of next month made me feel uneasy. She'd be gone next month. Unless you convince her otherwise. My wallet pinched my backside, reminding me of the dress. Wedding bells rang out. I took a sip of the wine I'd been holding and pushed the phantom sound away. I let my gaze linger on hers when I excused myself to talk to different people, and she smiled, wordlessly telling me she'd keep going around the room. I wasn't sure how, but I managed to yank myself away from her and walk around the room to network, but all the while, I was thinking about getting right back to her. In short, I was in deep shit. Chapter 23 Rowan. Past. It was hard to concentrate on what Cameron's dad was saying when I had to fight off his daughter's hand on my leg every 5 minutes. It didn't matter how many times I'd made it clear that I wasn't interested in her like that. It was as if she didn't hear my words clearly. Or maybe it was rejection that she didn't know how to handle. The last place in the world I wanted to be was at the dinner table with all of them, but Dad had told me earlier this week that I needed to be there, that it wouldn't look right if Sam and I didn't show. Yeah, well, if that were the case, where was Samson? He seemed to get away with everything, not being present at dinners like this, not having to go into the office with Dad, not attending meetings, and picking and choosing what gala he wanted to go to instead of having to go to them all. Most of the time, I didn't care. The oldest son was the one with all the responsibility after all, but this one got to me because I knew he was over at Freddy's house while I was stuck, waiting for the time to tick by. Sunday nights were pizza night at the Monty house, and a group of us always went over. I pushed Cameron's hand away, again, and shot her a look. She smiled, saucily, batting her eyelashes at me like I was going to fall for it. If that hadn't been enough, her mother was looking at me weird, in that way women at the grocery store looked at me nowadays. Sam said it was happening more and more to him as well. At least he still had a year left. For me, it was though turning 18 had put a stamp on my forehead that said, hey, I'm not exactly jailbait anymore. Why don't you take Cameron over to Tessa's tonight? Dad asked. Isn't that where you kids disappear to on Sundays? Cameron yanked her hand from my lap and sat up right beside me. That's okay. I'd rather just stay in. I promised the guys I'd go over there after dinner. You can stay here and watch a movie if you'd like, I said. I didn't have to look at Cameron to know she was brooding. She probably wanted to stay in because it was better than seeing Tessa and I together. Not that we were official or anything, but we were definitely more official than I'd made any of the other girls I dated. I held hands with her, I took her out to dinner and movies, we hung out and talked. We weren't just about fooling around or having sex. I hadn't had that before. Not like this, anyway. After a long, silent moment, Cameron sighed and said, I'll just go. There's probably nothing interesting on television anyway. We'll pick you up there when we're ready to go, her mom said with a smile. Normally I took an ATV over there, but she didn't need another excuse to have her hands all over me, so I opted for Dad's golf cart. Is Vilmer going to be there? She asked as I drove. Maybe. She sighed. He's the only friend you have that I can stand. Translation. He was the only friend I had whose trust fund exceeded mine and Sam's. I hoped he would be there. At least it would take her attention away from me for a while. We parked and walked up the steps to the door, all the while Cameron commenting on how quaint their house was. I'd never really noticed. But over the last year or two, this house had started to feel more like a home than my own did. I knocked and waited. Celia opened the door, her wide smile completely vanishing when she saw Cameron. She greeted us nonetheless. I hate these bitches, Cameron muttered under her breath as we followed her in. They have nothing, yet somehow they think they're better than me. I kept my mouth shut and kept walking, knowing that responding would make Celia turn around and probably punch her, which would lead to a lawsuit, no doubt. Cameron's parents were about that lawsuit life. Her mother had pressed charges on a pregnant woman who accidentally let her grocery cart go and scratched her car in the parking lot. I spotted Sam and Tessa beside him, looking up at him and laughing as he told the joke. I envied my brother so much, but never more than in those moments when he was with her while I'd been tied down doing something I didn't want anything to do with. Lately, it seemed like most women were paying a little more attention to me. And then there was this girl who lived up the block with the naturally tan skin and the almond-shaped eyes, who I knew wouldn't even have given me a second glance if she didn't know me. It was weird that I noticed it, all these years later. Weird that she was so quick to call me on my bullshit when everyone else stayed quiet. Weird that I was vying for one girl's attention when I had it coming at me from all corners. It was hard to explain, but that's how it was. It was like a color splash effect on a black and white print, everything muted, except for Tessa, with her wavy locks and bright smile. And there she was, turning all that magic to Samson. I felt a hand on my arm and remembered Cameron. Fucking Cameron. I exhaled and said hi to a few of the guys before making my way over to my brother. I said hi to Freddy first. He'd just come back from a 3-month boot camp and was waiting to hear where he'd be sent next. By the time he finished telling me about drills and sergeants, I looked up and noticed Tessa was no longer sitting by Sam. "Missed you at dinner," I said. "I'm sure you did," my brother smirked. "Mom made you bring the princess along?" I looked over to where Cameron was flirting with Wilmer. Looked back at my brother and cocked my head in a "what do you think" motion. He shook his head, his lips twisted in distaste, but he didn't say anything. I looked around the room. There were more people here than usual, and a lot of unfamiliar faces, mostly guys. "Who are all these people?" "Freddy's Air Force buddies." I gave a nod, scanning the room for Tessa and finding her talking to two guys I'd never seen before. She said something they both laughed at, looking equally as interested in tearing off a piece of her. I scowled and looked around for Freddy. Was he not seeing this? Not that he'd ever interfered with her past boyfriends, and thankfully he didn't interfere with me either. But they'd been nothing like these two. The two talking to her were men, and even though I was bigger than one of them, they both had that soldier thing about them that made them look badass. I chalked it up to the tattoos. I stopped by the kitchen, grabbed a cold Stella, and made my way over there, catching the tail end of a conversation. One of them was inviting Tessa to visit him in Chicago, and she was being wishy-washy about the invitation, the way someone did when they knew they weren't going to go through with something but didn't want to be rude about it. I wish she'd say flat out no, but I couldn't demand such a thing, especially since it was my idea for us not to be too serious. She was still smiling when she glanced over and saw me walking over. Her eyes widened slightly, but her smile stayed intact. My heart did a little gallop. I do not bleed. I do not feel stupid emotions that won't propel me in life. I thought of my dad's mantra, and I tried to stick to it, but when I reached her and she wrapped an arm around me in a sideways hug, and I inhaled her scent, I forgot about responsibilities and mantras and military guys with tattoos. I only saw Tessa. She introduced me to the guys, Dante and Billy. We made small talk for a bit. They joined when Freddy joined and went to the same boot camp. Like Freddy, they were waiting for their call and would more than likely be overseas by Christmas. I asked them what I asked every soldier I'd ever met thus far. "Why'd you enlist?" One said he wanted to serve his country, while the other told me he hadn't gotten into college and didn't know what he wanted to do with his life, so he went with this. "Both my grandfathers are veterans," I said. I never felt inclined to join. My brother thought about it a few times, but I don't think he will either. "Who's your brother?" one of them, Billy, asked. "The one with the Mets cap," I pointed over. They gave a nod and turned back to me. "You play football?" I shook my head. That was the first thing people thought when they looked at me. I row. Rower, one said, nodding. Sure you don't want to enlist? I laughed. Pretty sure, but don't count me out just yet. We small-talked a little longer before I walked away and followed Tessa, who was refilling the beer cooler. Her eyes snapped up when she felt someone walking near. You brought Cameron. She was in my house. She rolled her eyes. Of course she was. What's that supposed to mean? I tossed my beer into the recycling and picked up another. Tessa got her own, shook her head, and walked out the back door. I followed. Tess, I'm confused.
Confused about what?
She stopped and faced me.
You know she hates me, yet you bring her over. For what? So she can disrespect me in my house?
She doesn't hate you. I flinched at the face she shot me before walking further into the forest. She won't disrespect you. I won't let her. I didn't have much of a choice. She stopped and turned around again.
You always have a choice.
Not with this.
You say that about everything when it comes to her. Let me guess, she doesn't give you a choice every time she sticks her tongue down your throat either.
I searched her face, hard, hammering. She was jealous. This girl that normally acted like she didn't give a shit about who I hooked up with in the past was actually jealous.
Did it make me an asshole to feel excited over it?
To think maybe this affected her the way it did me? When I wasn't around her, the only thing I thought about was being around her. At night, I lay awake thinking about her lips, the mischievous look in her eyes, her small hands on me, and I stroked myself using every one of those images. I stepped closer, completely up in her space. Her eyes widened a little. Her mouth parted slightly.
People can see us, Ro, she whispered, and even that made me hard.
I brought my hand up and brushed her hair back, cupped her chin. So what, Sprite? She laughed lightly.
Why do you insist on calling me that? My ears are not that pointy.
Because you weave some serious magic. I put my other arm around her, letting my beer hang a little as I walked her deeper into the trees, pushing her against a bark. The kind that makes a guy forget his name.
You've never forgotten your name around me?
You don't know that.
I've known you too long for your lies to work on me.
She tilted her chin up and I leaned in, bringing my lips down to her exposed neck. She moaned, bringing her hand up to my hair and tugging, my name a delicious gasp from her lips.
Rowan.
God, what I would do to hear her say that over and over again. My lips didn't stop, couldn't stop moving against her neck, her jaw, her cheeks, her eyelids, her forehead, her nose. I stopped just before I reached her lips, pulled back slightly to look into her eyes so that she'd know that this would change things. People seeing us like this would make us more official than we'd initially intended on being, mostly because both of us were scared of the consequences, of the heartache that this may lead to. There was something about putting this out in the open that intensified that fear. I needed her to be okay with that. Instead of answering, she pulled my lips to hers and kissed me. It was soft and tentative at first as we reacquainted our mouths, and soon the kiss turned hot and frenzied, all teeth and tongue and growls. I knew that night that there was a slim chance things would end well between us. I knew I needed to stick to the boundaries I'd set for myself with her, because crossing lines with Tessa would be disastrous. She had the kind of magic that turned me inside out, the kind that would make me believe that maybe I did bleed.
Chapter 24. Tessa. We went out to dinner after the cocktail party. Rowan was starving, and I wasn't quite ready to go back to our shared hotel room. Shared. I still couldn't believe I'd agreed to that, but there was no taking it back. It wasn't as if we hadn't slept in the same bed together, but it was literally all we'd ever done on a bed. Slept. Since we'd discussed hooking up and going all the way, the energy around us had changed. It was as if the entire time as we networked at the cocktail party, each stolen glance, small smile, brush of hands as we passed, was a dance of foreplay. The realization made my feelings tangle. I hadn't realized that I could feel this way about him this quickly. But here I was, feeling like every nerve inside me was alight whenever he turned those blue eyes my way. I knew I needed to walk the line carefully, though. The last time we had a limited amount of time together, he'd hurt me like we'd been together for years. Maybe it was because, in my mind, we had been in some weird, twisted way. I tried to shake the thought away. We were more mature than we had been. We both knew exactly where our lives were supposed to be headed. It wouldn't be like the last time.
"You haven't said much since we left the party," he said, making the ice in his whiskey glass tumble with the movement of his wrist.
I did the same to mine and took a sip. "Neither have you." He gave a nod.
"I love watching you in your element."
"It's your element, too." I tried and failed to fight the blush on my face. What was it about him saying nice things to me that set my skin ablaze?
"Not really. I do it because I have to. You do it because you love it."
"You keep saying things like that." I set my glass down. "You can do anything you want. Why let yourself be tied down to this?"
"You know why."
"Yeah, but you've never brought it up this much before, so obviously it's on your mind and bothering you." He sighed, running a hand through his soft hair.
"It's what's been expected of me since I was born, and things just got a hell of a lot more complicated for me."
"Because of the divorce?"
"That's part of it."
He looked as if he wanted to say more, and his eyes were suddenly even more intent on mine in a way that made my stomach flip.
"Where do you see yourself in 5 years?"
I laughed awkwardly, not really expecting that. I picked up my glass again and took another sip of whiskey. That's such a high school yearbook question.
"Hey, we both got friendliest in the superlatives, didn't we?"
"We did."
"And most good-looking."
I felt myself smile wider.
"We did." "And king and queen."
"Yep."
"And most driven."
My cheeks hurt from smiling. Where are you getting at with this?
"Maybe our fellow classmates were onto something."
"Meaning?"
"Meaning maybe we're perfect for each other. Always were."
My smile dropped shakily. I thought the point was not to get attached. Why was he bringing this up? "Do you believe that?"
"I do."
"So why did we have a conversation about being careful and all that jazz?"
"Because you're leaving and a relationship would be impossible to maintain."
I swallowed. "Where does Cameron fit into all of this?"
"Why do you keep bringing her up?"
His brows pulled together as if he were trying to figure out a confusing equation. "Because just the other day, she walked out of your office with lipstick smeared all over her face." He exhaled heavily, dragging his hand through his hair again.
I waited.
When he didn't respond, I continued. "I know you think she and I have some sort of competition for your affection, but I want no part of it. I'm not a teenager anymore. I know my worth and..."
"Tessa."
His tone and the way he leaned in made me shut my mouth.
"When it comes to you, there's never any competition. You blow everyone else out of the water."
"So why do I feel like I'm always in last place with you? Like I'm always left waiting in the water while everyone else has a place on your blue canoe." His brows rose in surprise.
"You really feel that way?"
"I wouldn't say it if I didn't." He gave a humorless laugh and shook his head.
"And here I was thinking I was chasing after you all along."
"Look," I set my glass down again. "I agree with you on this. I'm leaving in a few days. I don't want a relationship. I'm not looking to settle down with you and start a family."
"Not that you'd want that anyway."
I shot him a look. He simply stared, waiting.
I just don't want to feel like the other woman in this. I don't want to do more with you and feel like you're cheating on her with me, and saying you and I are perfect for each other. Well, that's just confusing.
You would never be the other woman, he said. You don't believe in love. You don't want to get married. You just want to hook up. I don't believe in love, marriage, and I just want to hook up. That equation equals perfect. As far as Cameron goes, did she try to hook up with me the other day? Yes. Did she kiss me in my office? Yes. Did I entertain it? Fuck no. Why would I do that knowing you would be there?
Because you saw me kiss your brother and you wanted payback.
He flushed and looked away. I rolled my eyes. Typical Rowan. He did want payback, whether he planned it or not.
You're so childish sometimes.
I'll own that accusation.
He looked into my eyes again before reaching over and caressing the top of my left hand. My heart wiggled.
I'm a jealous bastard when it comes to you. You know that.
My heart dipped. When he talked about shooing guys away, he'd said he was a selfish bastard, not a jealous one.
I wasn't aware you were capable of feeling jealous.
He shot me a look. I smiled. We asked for the bill and walked hand in hand back to the hotel. As we went up the elevator, I felt like I might just die right there. There was absolutely no coy way of starting this. It surprised me that I even felt this worked up about it, being that we'd been to this rodeo. Sure, this time it would be more. But there was no other reason for two people this sexually attracted to each other to share a bed. I felt his breath on my neck as I shakily unlocked the door, his lips on the slope of my shoulder, where he dropped an open-mouthed kiss. My eyes slammed shut, my heart pitter-pattered with raw excitement and need. I pushed the door open and stepped inside. He shut it behind us and turned me around, pinning me against it as his lips came down onto mine. His mouth was a jolt of excitement, but the kiss was softer than I expected. His lips moved with the sensuality of a lost lover, the feel of his tongue stroking mine in a soft caress, his fingers threading into the hair at the nape of my neck, tilting my face, seeking more. I dropped my key, my purse, and wrapped my arms around his neck, molding against him, needing to erase the inches of space between us. When he broke the kiss, just as slowly as he had started it, our lips took their time parting ways.
You sure about this?
He said. Positive.
If you ever want to stop.
I pulled him into another kiss. He nibbled on my bottom lip. I returned the favor. And when our faces were inches from each other's again, I looked into his dark, lust-filled gaze and felt my stomach sinking farther to its knees.
I want you on our bed,
he breathed. Our bed. I took his hand and led him to the room. When I turned around to face him, my breath caught at the wolfish, sensual smile on his face. His gaze lingered over me, traveling down my body in a slow caress that burned every inch it explored.
Do something, I whispered.
I fully intend to.
He lifted his gaze to meet mine as he closed the distance between us and dipped his face.
His mouth touched my forehead as he brought his hands behind me and unzipped my dress.
I shrugged my arms out of it and let him tug it past my hips so that it fell and pooled at my feet.
You look stunning tonight, by the way,
he said, the husk in his voice making the butterflies in my stomach somersault. He caught my gratitude in his mouth as his lips came down on mine. With deft fingers, he unhooked my bra and pulled it away from me as I stepped out of the dress and walked with him toward the bed, lowering my hands to the buttons on his shirt and undoing one with each step, my eyes on the task as he watched me. When I pulled his shirt open and revealed his taut, muscular, tan stomach, I paused for a beat and then leaned in and placed a kiss on the center of his chest, licked the perfectly dented line between his pecs. He sucked in a sharp breath as I licked my way down, his hands coming up to either one of my shoulders. For a moment, I thought he was going to pull me